Thank you very much for coming to the portfolio committee, and we would like to take this opportunity to congratulate you in your deployment in the Department of Small Business Development, including the cooperatives. And we also want to take this opportunity to congratulate Honorable Comrade Elizabeth Chavez as our in Small Business and Cooperative Development. And welcome the SDG from Natal. We called this meeting for the purpose of giving the minister an opportunity of briefing members of the portfolio committee on the mandate of the department as well as the program that are going to be undertaken by the department. We are doing this in preparation for our own budget vote as the portfolio committee. We are also doing this for our own understanding in terms of the oversight that we shall be then exercising on the department. Before we allow the minister to take us through the program, because this is our first meeting with the minister present, I will then give an opportunity for members to introduce themselves. I will start. I am Nozabelo, which means chair. That's my name, the name that was given to me by my father when I was born, even before I was born. And the other name is Ruth Bebo. That name I assumed as soon as I attended Sunday school. Reverend, I'm a Christian, and I was baptized, and I was then given this name. His surname is Bebo. I'm a grandmother of six and a mother of six. Thank you very much. I'm a member of the African National Cooperative, and during the National Executive Committee. Thank you.
Mabasa, well, residing in Kaunting, Soweto, but I read the part of the mother of six, yes, it's okay, but the part of grandmother of six, we know that it's a doubt.
Oh, thank you very much, Chairperson. Good morning. My name is Bongani. I'm sitting in Mkongi. I'm originally from the province of the Eastern Cape. And I was invited to Gauteng for the last 5 years. I'm migrating again back to the Eastern Cape. So I will be with you for the next 7 or 5 years, representing the African National Congress.
Thank you, Chairperson. My name is Kukwe Bekwa from KZN Province. I'm a member of this Standing Committee. I'm representing the ANC.
Thank you, Chair. Good morning, everybody. My name is Tete Jonas Rambo Maxi. I am from the Free State Province, the town called Parade to Maule in the first state. I am a member of the ANC PDC in the first state. I am also a student of the University of Johannesburg, giving me the honors in industrial medicine and manufacturing. Thank you.
Good morning, Honorable Chair and members. I am Toby Jumps from the Democratic Alliance, and I am from Johannesburg, where I am little head for Soweto West. Thank
Thank you, Honorable Chair. My name is Henry Kuga, and I'm not sure what Henry means. I think it's something like Jeff and Charles or something like that. No, I'm only joking. I'm from Mpumalanga. I'm also serving on the GA National Executive Committee. I'm also part of the Provincial Executive Committee of the province. And I'm from a very sad town called Emalahleni in Emalahleni. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chair. Good morning, everybody. I'm Tenet Misha, representing the ACP from Gauteng.
Thank you, Honourable Chair. My name is Kumla Chappas. I'm the FEDG for Small Business Development. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. This is Chabelche from Gauteng Province CDC, but to play with the Minister Small Business. Thank you.
And Honourable Chairperson, my name is Lindo Zulu. I am the Minister of Small Business Development. I'm a member of the National Executive Committee of the ANC and the Working Committee of the ANC. I reside in Gauteng, but originally I'm from KZN.
Good morning, Honourable Members. My name is Marasha Botwana. I'm the Committee Assistant of the Special Committee on Business Development. Thank you.
My name is
Honourable
Members.
In order to indicate that there are members who are not in attendance, and also to make it easy for everyone to refer to one another by name and family instead of saying the honorable member. We don't come from one province, and we also get citizen tags. We are making it easy for people to identify themselves and to be identified by others. We think that it would assist the members to get to know each other, and also those who are visiting to make good reference of who is in what and who you are responding to. Thank you very much. I will now give an opportunity to the Honourable Minister to take us to. Are there any opportunities?
Thank you, Chair. I have got the apologies of Honourable N. Kwan Kwan, and then the apology of Honourable T. Mahambe Sala, who has indicated that she's running late. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Can we then proceed to the presentation? We'll come back to item 3 and 4. Thank you very much, Chairperson. I think it belongs to this, the work that we are doing here. And honorable members, very good morning to you all. Since this is our first presentation to the portfolio committee. I would like to upfront apologize for any protocol broken if we happen to break any protocol. We are new in this space, but we hope that we will be able to present ourselves as expected. We are plus minus 30 days in office, and the ministry has now been proclaimed. The department will be proclaimed. We are made to understand the department will also be proclaimed very soon. Our offices are situated at GTI campus, 77 Main G Street, Utanga Miri, Block 3. We are on the third floor. We are giving you this information because we know that some people have been wondering from where are we operating, or even saying we don't have offices, but we do have offices. We are currently working on configuring the department with an aim of ensuring that we design a structure fitting to deliver on the mandate, aims, and objectives. And we think that we are lucky, even though we have been created 20 years down the line, but we are lucky that we are starting a department, so we will have the experience of other departments, so that when we create our own department, at least we have their experience of others, so that we can cut short certain processes, because we know that putting a department together takes a very long time, but we hope that we'll be able to break that and be able to put the department in place as quickly as possible. We are also informed by the demand that we see out there for this department, and therefore we are really forced to be as quick as possible in setting up, because we noticed that the welcome of the establishment of the department has really been overwhelming, and this to us clearly indicates the need to work with speed so as to assure the people that we are to serve, that we are here to serve them. We are also hoping that in the process of configuring this department, we will be able to ensure that we spread ourselves right down to the lowest levels, which therefore means we must make sure that we connect very effectively to provincial structures and local structures, because we believe that the people that we are serving are not sitting in Pretoria where we are, but it's ordinary people right down to the lowest level. And we also believe that the infrastructure is there for us to be able to do that, because if you look at the provincial structures, you find that there are MECs for economic development. If you look at local structures, you also find that the possibilities of us ensuring that we connect and coordinate properly with those structures is there. So there isn't a situation where we are going to be starting from scratch with infrastructure. We will recall, honourable members, that the work of small business development and of cooperatives was performed by different work streams in the Department of Trade and Industry and Economic Development. Work within those units continue so as not to break or collapse existing support rendered to small and medium enterprises and cooperatives while we figure ourselves out and fulfill legislative and other imperatives. We think that it's important for us to mention this because we do not want people to wait that long when they have programs which were already started by the work streams which were within DTI. But we are also very conscious of the fact that we will not necessarily take those work streams and just keep them as they are. We need to make sure that we take those work streams into an already discussed and already well-established department. We are also very conscious of the work that they have done, because we've already had meetings with all those work streams that were in the department in the two departments. We now have a very clear and straightforward understanding of the work that they have been doing, and we will work with them as we continue to configure our department. Chairperson, the background to formation of a small and medium enterprise is that small and medium and micro enterprise represent an important vehicle to address the challenges of job creation, economic growth and equity in South Africa. SME can potentially play a critical role in absorbing labor, penetrating new markets and generally expanding economies in a creative and innovative way. Equally important is the potential to boost development and inclusiveness in the economy. This is very important for us, honourable members, because the issue of inclusiveness in the economy, we can say for the past 20 years of our democracy, we have really been building our political base and creating stability. But that doesn't mean we excluded the issues of the economy, but the new government, the current government, is now focusing on, now focus on the economy, particularly because we now feel that we are stable enough to focus on the economy. But also it is to address the imbalances of the past and make sure that black people in particular are included in this economy. And small and medium enterprise present a very good vehicle for doing just that. The objective of government in setting up this Ministry of Small Business is to improve small business performance in local economies as a means to achieve economic growth, employment and income, reduce poverty and meet social objectives. With appropriate enabling environment, SMEs can make an indelible mark on the economy. We talk about creating often enabling environment because since we have been in office, we have been having hundreds of calls from small and medium enterprises, those that are already in it, who are surviving, those who are already in it but are collapsing for one reason or the other, but also those that are wanting to start. So we believe that the stimulation of SMEs must be seen as part of an integrated strategy aimed at diversifying the economy, enhancing productivity, stimulating investment, and encouraging entrepreneurship. Facts are clear out there. The SME contributes 57% of South Africa's GDP and accounts for 56% of employment, 77% with informal sector. Now, the Metal Development Plan, which is the base from where we are working, and this says that 90% of jobs to be created by 2030 will be coming from small and medium enterprises. And facts also indicates that economies around the world have shown that jobs are not created by larger corporates, they are created by small, micro and medium enterprises. However, we would also like to indicate here that those large corporates and big businesses will have to look for partnership so that they can be also able to assist us in building the small and medium enterprises. But also we believe that even in their own activities, there is work for small and medium enterprises. Just like we also believe that even in government itself, in all the departments that we have, at national level, at provincial and local level, there are great opportunities for small and medium enterprises. And we believe that as a ministry, if we work closely with those structures, we will be able to offer assistance to small and medium enterprises. Our ministry is one of the core economic clusters or economic ministries. And we are particularly mandated to deal with the following areas. Small business policy, which therefore means we have to look at current existing policies, whether it's legislative or it is regulatory environment. Small business financial solutions, business cycle support, moving the current leader into the small business development department. In as far as the mandate is concerned, as I am indicating, small business policy includes transversal policies, sector policies, regulation and trade and balancing, informal business sector, informal business sector support, which is the second economy, cooperative and social business support. We are aware of the fact that some members are not happy with the fact that the cooperative is not indicated there in our name, and we will have to discuss that. Entrepreneurship and commercialization support, business incubation and franchising, technology transfer and innovation, localization, that is local procurement and market access. In as far as small business financial inclusion is concerned, we talk about assistance and access to capital, policy instruments review, small business levies, remittances, job creation funds, tax, tax and exemptions, wages, investment and subsidies, social grants, social bonds, grants and soft loans. In as far as business cyber support is concerned, we're talking about business skills training, infrastructure and facility access, business value chain participation, large-scale government and large-scale government procurement. Honourable members, since we have indicated that we will have time to do some consultation also with interested partners outside. We are talking about consultation with relevant big business, and we are interested in discussing with unions, we are interested in discussing with NGOs that are in the area of our work. We hope that we will be able to do that as soon as we possibly can, because we believe that the formation of a department must also take into consideration those interests in the outside. But of course, the buck stops with us as a department and a ministry in ensuring that we deliver on our mandate. Honourable Chair, this was just the background that I needed to give so that there is a common understanding of where we are starting from. Now I will hand over to my acting EG, Pumlan Mapai, to deal with the presentation, which I hope everybody has in front of them, in terms of dealing with the mandate, partly the programs, because we cannot really talk of complete programs until such time that we have been able to have our own breakaway where we can then be able to come back again. And we are conscious, of course, of the fact that the budget vote that is around the corner. We hope that we'll be able to do our own breakaways sooner, so that then by the time we present our budget, we have had an opportunity to really configure this department, as I said earlier, configure it in such a way that it is able to deliver on its mandate as quickly as we possibly can. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. I will now ask the attention to make a presentation.
Thank you, Honourable Chair, Honourable Members. Taking into account the mandate that was presented to the economic clusters as well as to what Minister Zulu has outlined, we have derived and developed the mandate of the Small Business and Development. The mandate of this department will focus on enhanced support to small business and cooperative development, with an emphasis on programs to advance entrepreneurship amongst women and youth, the disabled people, to effectively contribute to job creation and economic growth. The main mandate of the department is to ensure that we broaden the participation of the previously disadvantaged groups of our economy. Amongst others, the support mechanisms will include access to finance, business skills development, market access for the products that would have been manufactured by the said groups, enhancing competitiveness, easing of the regulatory environment, advancing localization, particularly leveraging on public procurement. Within this context, we've done an assessment in terms of what we legislate, the mandate of the department. And this is broken down into primary legislation as well as supplementary legislation and other policy measures.
that I aimed at delivering on the mandate of the department. Amongst others, this includes the Small Business Development Act of 1980, the National Small Business Act of 1996, amended in 2004, the Companies Act of 2010, Cooperatives Act of 2013, the Industrial Development Corporation Act of 1940, which called into existence CIFA, which is in support of what small business and cooperatives are doing. There's also the Cooperatives Development Act of 2005. The supplementary legislation would include the BBBE Act, the National Empowerment Act, the Provincial Procurement Policy Framework Act, the Youth Strategy, Women Empowerment Strategy, the Cooperative Development Strategy, Innovation and Technology Strategy, which is currently managed by the Department of Science and Technology. Having developed the mandate of the department, we had to look at the mission, particularly the primary as well as the secondary mission of the department. The primary mission would be to enhance the support of small and informal business development as well as cooperatives through entrepreneurship and commercialization, business incubation and franchising, localization, training and skills development, technology transfer and innovation. Secondly, it will be aimed at fostering financial inclusion as well as creation of market access for small business as well as cooperatives. This should also focus on the integration of co-ops into the mainstream of the economy. The secondary mission of the department will focus on coordination and finalization of transversal agreements to advance localization and leveraging on public procurement while ensuring that there are measurable outputs, particularly from the state institutions in support of small business as well as cooperatives. Honorable members, you may report that across the state institutions, there are supply development programs that are aimed at supporting small business and cooperatives, but in their nature, they're not mandatory. They are implemented on a voluntary basis. So this department is to ensure that there are measures to enforce that. Honorable members, having outlined the mandate and the mission of the department, we have considered the main business streams that will assist us in terms of delivering on this mandate. And we have identified six key elements as well as additional support functions in this regard. Amongst others, these would include a unit on research, policy, monitoring, evaluation, as well as intergovernmental relations. Intergovernmental relations is quite key to this work, as we all are aware that the interventions for small business and cooperatives have been fragmented, and you realize that each department has a piece or a measure to attend to this particular group of our economy. But our intent is to ensure that there is a thread that runs within small business that also runs in other departments in support of the service that is to be delivered by the small business department. And we believe that this will be guided by the existing measures in terms of intergovernmental relations that have already been enforced in other departments. We've also identified innovation, intellectual property, as well as international knowledge as a key component of the department. Wouldn't want to lose the sight or the space that has been created by the people who have intellectual property amongst numerous sectors of this of small business as well as cooperatives. Innovation and technology is also key in terms of delivering on the mandate of small business. And this program is has been the mandate of a trading industry, and there are existing programs that are delivered by the department as well as CEDA, and we envisage a migration of this function in this regard. We've also considered customized interventions, and amongst others would focus on enterprise development, cooperative development, as well as the national informal business supplement support, which aims at supporting initiatives in the townships, initiatives in the rural areas. And honorable members, this is not exhaustive as yet. We are still in discussions with the department that has been delivering on the mandate, as my minister has alluded. We'll also focus on specific incentive programs. This part of some of these programs have been outlined in the mandate that was presented to the economic capital ministers, and this includes measures on tax relief, measures on grants, measures on bonds, as well as the current incentive program that is being considered by the DTI as well as other departments that have been delivering on this mandate. We also think that a unit on impact assessment would be critical, because at the end of the day, would want to be able to measure the impact in terms of the investment that would have been injected in this department, as well as through the agencies that would assist in delivering on the funding. So we believe that we should have an impact assessment unit in this regard. This business case would be supported by other support functions, including corporate services focusing on administration, finance, IT, HR, legal, as well as communications and marketing. Honorable members, the key milestones would focus on the configuration of the department. I think my minister has alluded to the key elements that have to be considered in terms of this. The other milestone would be on migration of functions, looking at what DTI has been doing, what EDD has been doing, what other departments have also been implementing in terms of the mandate for small business. The other key element would be consolidation of the policy measures. As much as we advocate for finalization or consideration of a transversal agreement, we believe that there shall be a consolidation of the policy measures within the Small Business Development Department. We'll also focus on developing transversal agreements on areas that can't naturally migrate to the current department. We'll also work around on the establishment of financial institutions. You may have noticed that in the input that has been given by the minister, there's no clear indication in terms of the financial arm that will support the mandate of this department, and believe that would be key in terms of advancing this mandate. Having considered all of those elements, we had to look at the allocated resources, in particular the budget. And this area has been the most difficult, as we all know that all these elements are residing in other entities. However, having said with the DTI, we have realized that they have accorded a budget of 1 billion for broadening participation division, a division that is within the DTI and has a mandate to deliver for small business as well as cooperatives. This 1 billion, honorable members, also includes resources that have been allocated for BEE, and as we are all aware that BEE will not migrate to the new department. So a portion of the 1 billion would migrate with the functions to the new department. There's also resources that have to be moved from the incentives budget of the DTI. Because the incentives covered all areas of DTI's mandate, so it was not easy to qualify the amount that we moved to the Small Business Development Department. However, from DTI's presentation yesterday, the members that had attended, you would have noticed that the DTI has identified two lines of their incentives budget, including the budget for the cooperative support as well as for the Black Business Supply Development Program. So those are the two lines that have been identified from the DTI side. There's also been migration of the budget focusing on administration, particularly on the areas that I have identified, which are core support to the mainstreams of the department. We're also envisaging transfers from the economic development, particularly the line that talks to the Small Enterprise Finance Agency. And I think through the session tomorrow, we'll be able to qualify the amount that would migrate to the new department. Honorable members, with the establishment of the new department, there are inherent challenges. And key amongst these challenges are the timelines and dependencies with regard to the proclamation processes. And our view is that if the process had been concluded, we would have been able to outline in a clear manner some of the measures that would be implemented by the department. And this presents a greater challenge as we are focusing on the budget goals, as well as the transversal agreements that have to be entered, because those are supposed to have been done or to have been considered to an extent prior to the budget goals, so that the department could have a clear indication in terms of what it is expected to implement. Honorable members, this will be the end of my presentation. Thank you very much, Honorable Chairman.
Thank you very much. I will now open an opportunity for members to ask questions, make comments. Honorable Mabasa.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Minister Deputy Minister, and DDG. The DA supports the creation of this department, and I was actually on record some months ago as supporting it when it was first mooted by, I think, Gwede Mansashi. And I think that the creation of the department is important for many reasons, indicative of the fact being that it does represent 55%, as you said, Minister, of the economy. So it's a very substantial component of the economy, which has been downplayed somewhat in its position as being part of the CGI and part of economic development. But I do have a few initial thoughts on what has been presented this morning. The first thing is the issue of defining the sector. What do we mean by small, medium, and micro enterprises? And I noticed that you do include medium enterprises in your discussion. So I think one of the things that has to happen soon is that we need some clarity on what we mean by a small, medium, and micro enterprise. The National Small Business Act of 1996 makes those classifications clear, but obviously a lot has happened since then in terms of growth, and I think that we need to revisit that classification. And interventions for different sized businesses in different sectors need to be themselves very different and very targeted. My second observation is that in the presentation yesterday from Minister Davis, he did describe the current incubation support program and the intention of setting up 90 incubators by the end of this term. Very important. But I also pointed out in my questions that in terms of the National Development Plan's target of creating 11 million jobs by 2030, the impact of the incubators so far has been a drop in the ocean. And I would suggest that maybe thoughts can be given to expanding that program substantially and setting targets for not just the number of incubators, but the impact that those incubators will have in terms of the number of businesses created and the size of those businesses in terms of not just turnover, but job creation. And that all policy initiatives that are initiated through this department be measured in terms of job creation. Because that is fundamentally the most important objective of this current administration, in our opinion. The third point I want to pick up on is localization. A lot has been mentioned of localization in not only the State of the Nation address, but in most other statements relating to the economy. And we agree that localization is important, not only localization in terms of South African products being bought ahead of potentially imported products, but I would like to also suggest that localization is seen on a more micro level. In other words, localizing supply chains so that, for example, township businesses can supply township businesses. A lot of investments happen in the last few years in the retail sector in townships. Not a lot have been invested in the industrial sector. So, for example, in Soweto, we have a gleaming Mahonia Mall, Protea Mall, Jalani Mall, Deep Truth Mall, but we have a crumbling industrial park, you know, just down the road. So the emphasis should be on more on production and less on consumption. And one way of achieving that is to localize supply chains within townships and peri urban areas. In terms of transversal agreements, I noticed that one of the departments that was left out of your presentation was labor, excuse me, the Department of Labor and Labor Relations. And I see that Minister Zhu had already suggested that potentially the Labor Relations Act could be reviewed in terms of its impact on small business. And just last week I had a telephone call from a small business in Deep River, run by a woman. It turned over 5 million rand. It only has 4 employees. And this business has been overrun, to use that terminology, by a union, which has essentially disrupted the functioning of her business to the extent that she's thinking of closing it down. Now, this is a very touchy area, we understand, but I think that it would be important for the ministry to examine the impact that the current labour legislation has on small businesses' potential to grow, and that discussions be had with the Department of Labour to see whether elements that were agreed in MEDLAC that were thrown up by the portfolio committee last year could be reviewed, particularly things like the right to strike, secret ballot, and so on. I was glad to hear what the DDG said in terms of the voluntary agreements not being mandatory, and in fact, I think that one of the very important points in the National Small Business Act of 1996 is the question of guidelines. The Act makes provision for guidelines, and of course guidelines can be ignored by other departments. In fact, they have been ignored. So we would like to suggest that Act be brought back to the committee as soon as possible so that we can review the terms of that Act and in the context of formation of this new department to make it much stronger so that we can take out words like guidelines and insert words like mandatory. Because, of course, the small business departments can only do so many things in its own right. It has to also persuade other departments to go along with the overall objective of supporting small business in South Africa. For example, the Treasury. The Davis Tax Committee has recommended, I think, 8 changes to the tax law supporting small business, but only 2 of those recommendations were agreed to by the Treasury. So, the discussions with the Treasury are very important. You mentioned tax incentives, absolutely right. Small businesses have to have tax incentives, but also, for example, able investors need to have tax incentives. Rich people, of which there are a lot in this country, who have wealth circulating in money markets and other money investments, actually should be given incentives to take all of that money and put it into small business development, which then offers an opportunity to mentor those small businesses as well as getting a tax incentive. And then finally, for starters, the issue of capacity. Obviously, the department is facing capacity issues, and I would urge the minister to, as far as possible, seek out partnerships with the private sector, because the private sector is willing and eager to help. There already are examples of private sector involvement through the BE legislation incubation programs. But I think it's very important for the minister to set out a strategy which is business friendly, by which I mean not necessarily just big business friendly, but enterprise friendly. Because the ANC has developed potentially a reputation for being not business friendly. And ultimately, we have to understand that it's businesses that create jobs. It's not government that creates jobs. It's businesses that create jobs. So with those words in mind, I would just like to reiterate our support for this department and our intention to develop a cooperative and collaborative relationship with you during the course of the next 5 years. Thank you.
Thank you. Honorable Lemus. Yes,
no, thank you, Chair. No, Chair, thank you. I want to also congratulate the Minister, Minister and the Deputy Minister on the presentation also. And I see the presentation actually say it all, and it actually talk to straightforward, relevant issues, and I think we also are concerned on the agency of the establishment of the department, and wish to reiterate also on the presentation or overview by the minister as the agency of the establishment of the department. We say yes, no, that is very, very, very key and fundamental that we move with speed. My only addition would be an emphasis on also the IGR issue. I think the previous speaker emphasized on the issue of the IGR. And commonly, we have also noticed that the kind of the department that we are dealing with is also setting an impact on all the departments of government. I think we are aware that every department will have something for the small business, because we talk of service delivery to the previously disadvantaged, the people on the ground. So we say, if maybe under supplemental legislation from other policies, we can actually make mention of this IGR Framework Act so that it becomes one of also the tools that we will always enforce to make sure that departments don't take it as something that they would not want to do or ought not to do, but they must know that that is actually part of the legislation that the government does, so that sometimes we will be in dire need of this kind of an act. That is why it is there. So I think that is only the only addition I
wanted
to make,
Chair. Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And as my colleague next to me also comment on the Minister's presentation, his EDG presentation, just a small thing, Madam Chair, on the FED business streams, I just want to ask the DDG on bullet point number 3 if we can add in the skill development as well. I think skill development is a very, very important part of small business development. We need to concentrate not just on businesses, but we need to concentrate on the owners of the business as well and develop the owners of businesses. So if we can just add in the on bullet point number 3, skill development. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. My question is on the establishment of the financial institution. Now, what I want to know is what does the government have in mind regarding the establishment of financial institution? Are you looking at something like a bank, or what do you have in mind here? Because I would not see the need for having something parallel to it, unless if
the financial institutions to have in mind something different. Is it the institutions that will be providing loans to those who will be starting businesses? Would such people be who are starting businesses and need help? Will they be referred and help to access the institutions? Or the departments, a department within a department that will be giving granting loans to people who want to start businesses. So what is this establishment of financial institutions?
Are there any other hand? Yes, no.
Thank you, Chairperson. Firstly, I would like to appreciate the Minister for the good presentation they did. Also, to welcome the idea of the establishment of the government, which is very important for the development of our people, more especially the gap between the poor and the rich. And as EFF, we support the establishment of the businesses. So, on the presentation of the active JG, I think on the legislation, it was going to be also good to include the National Credit Act as one of the primary legislation in order to assist our people. And I wanted to know again about how to deal with the blacklisted, the small business entrepreneurs, and those who want maybe to enter the business, because this is the gate to go to the entrepreneurship of these small business people. And I also want to know about the strategy I'm going to use to fast track the payments, which is a challenge now to the small business people in our local government, where we find that given the opportunity maybe to provide service to the local government, and the payment is delayed in such a way that when that credit is implemented, it comes not to for any help or for assistance. The other issue is about the IDI, which my colleague already sensitized, which is very important. Another thing which I wanted to know is the capacity to manage the power strategy of the department. Because this department is coming out of two departments, training, industry, economic development. So we would like if the ministry and the administration of this young department is being frustrated, they must make note to the chairperson of this committee as soon as possible, because we don't want to see ourselves in the next financial year when you are coming to present to tell us the challenge of the department not giving you some of the responsibilities and shifting some of the finances to this new department, and we find that the department is stumbling because of that. So immediately when you face the challenge from the Department of Trade and Industry or for the economic development, is make note the chairperson to be aware of that so that we can intervene in order for this department to start to work. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you. I will give the opportunity for the minister and the chief to respond, and then I will take a second round also. Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Chairperson. My team will also make some intervention. I think the first and most important thing for us to acknowledge is the support that the ministry and the department will get, because it's clear from the inputs which have been made by members that this has long been awaited for. And we are happy that we have the support, and we hope that we will be able to work very closely and understanding, of course, the fact that the responsibility of the portfolio committee is oversight. But oversight does not necessarily mean we must be enemies of each other. It simply means that you must be as robust as you possibly can. We can take the hit that we are very sure of, because we know that if we need to succeed in the work that we are doing, we need to be able to listen to everybody who has a contribution to make, irrespective of which space they're in. And
We also think at the issue of definition of the definition that you are talking about, we think that is very important. We have to re-look into that, and I hope that when we do have our own breakout, we will be able to also prioritize that, because at the end of the day, people need to be very sure of who we are and what we are about. I think most of the input has been more of the contributions than questions, and I think that we will take it in that manner, that we will take the contributions and include them as far as our discussion are concerned. With regard to this issue, I mean, I want to go to the issue of meeting with Treasury, but also talking to other relevant institutions, because at the end of the day, small and medium enterprises, our responsibility is to assist South Africans to get working. It's not for us to do the work. We are very sure that South Africans must get up and step up and be able to go out there and get the necessary information. However, from a government point of view, it's our responsibility, we believe, as government, that we must take that information down to the people. They must find it very difficult to get this information, number one. Number two, we are aware of the fact that in terms of registration and all, people are complaining bitterly that it takes them too long, the turnaround for registration takes them too long, and we are, of course, going to be looking at other countries who we are now aware of the fact that, I mean, countries like Rwanda, we are being told that their turnaround for registration of a company is less than a day, and South Africa cannot afford not to be in that space. We learned that in Ghana and in some other places, people don't have to travel long distances to get the information, and we are conscious of the fact that not everybody that has a laptop or a computer in front of them to be able to access the information. We are also looking at the already existing infrastructure, because if one was to look at communities, you'd find that there are community centers, there are schools which can also be used if we were to have a discussion, so that we bring the information closer to the people. We will look into all those things and make sure. With regard to the incubation program, I must say to you that already we've been invited to a few programs by the private sector, and we found that to be very interesting, because we think that partnership would have to be strong, because we are saying to also businesses, it would be in their interest. Yes, we know that as government would not be the one to make all the would not be creating all the jobs that are needed. But we also know that if we can go in partnership, that there can be an understanding, because we're saying government cannot be a buffer between the very wealthy people and poor people. Business also has to understand that they have a role to play. They actually have less sleepless nights themselves if we go into partnership and they assist us. We know that they have to make the money, but at the end of the day, this is our country, and if we all put our hands on the deck, we'll be able to address many of these issues that we are, the challenges that we are facing. And the issue that was raised by the EFF is also very important to us. We think that we need to look at the National Credit Act. It's important. And as far as that listed people are concerned, I'm sure that even though I wasn't in this space, I was following very much the decisions as to what to do in terms of the blacklisted people. And we starting from a clean slate, but starting from a clean slate is one thing, because you can start from a clean slate and only to find that people find themselves back again in that cycle of not being able to pay. We believe that compliance is very important for everybody, irrespective of at what level you are. It's important for us to assist in our people, ensuring that we know that we are coming from a situation where we are excluded, but we also think that people must take responsibility. Being assisted, of course, they must take responsibility, because if you then want to create a situation where some feel that they don't have to comply, we'll be creating an anarchy, and we don't want a creation of that. But we are very conscious of the fact that the majority of our people were never in a space where they were able to inculcate this from a long time ago. It's a responsibility now, not only of government, but it's a responsibility of us all to try and assist in inculcating their culture of compliance, but also their culture of taking responsibility. And we think that different sectors, and including even NGOs, and some NGOs that are trying out there to assist our people in an understanding. You know, one of the things that I think is a big challenge in South Africa is the culture of saving. Saving is something that we don't do. And when I was in a meeting in Alexandria not long ago, and there were these youngsters who were really complaining, almost doy-doy, saying that government is not helping us with this, government is helping, not helping us. When I spoke about the issue of saving, they nearly told me life, because they were saying, you are asking us to save from what? We don't even have the jobs. And I would say, but my challenge is that even when you do get the jobs, let's face the fact that you don't save. I'm looking at you and the way you are dressed and everything. I'm very sure that you can't even save 10 rand from. So there's a culture that I think we need to assist in developing. Fast tracking the payment, I think that the President has spoken so many times about this issue. It's very unfortunate, honestly, that we find that our own government, in some instances, in many instances, unfortunately, are not paying within the 30 days that is stipulated. So we think that as we go into partnership, these transversal agreements that we need to have, we need to take that up very seriously. But also, we will be engaging with the structure that is in the presidency that was appointed specifically to look into that. I think that if we work collectively together, we can be able to overcome this, especially because it's not about money not being available. Money is there. If there's no money, it's another story. But if there's bureaucracy, there's red tape, there's corruption, there's asking people to submit, to do certain things before they get their payments, it means we must deal with that and deal with it decisively. But also having said that, it's important for our people to understand that the fighting of corruption or the pressurizing in as far as this is concerned is not a one-way process. And some people decide that, no, maybe the best thing for me to do is not to report this, but to fight other means. And therefore, that fight will not be effective if it's only one side that is fighting that and the other side does not consider it. The partnership with the private sector is key, is very important. And I must say, as I said in my presentation, that the support for the establishment of this department has been very overwhelming. It hasn't been overwhelming only from the small and medium enterprises themselves and people who are in cooperatives, but it has also been from the private sector itself, which has reached out to us to say that, can we find a way of working with each other? And we think that they have a big role to play. However, we would just have to make sure that from our side, we establish ourselves properly so that we're not found to be all over the place and making many promises which we might not be able to keep. But we are seeing that that partnership, we regard it as very important. And Pumba, or Deputy Minister, there are other questions that you'd like to respond to?
Thank you very much, Chair, and thanks for fellow committee members. And I think we'll have a good relationship, I'm sure, with the department and the portfolio committee. And we really hope that it will be a very good relationship. Of course, the overarching is critical and key, and committee has been termed to be the end of the parliament. So if we need things to go the way that I'm supposed to go, we will really have to have a strong committee involvement and consultation. Chair, I think the questions that are raised in some comments, some of them need more thorough discussion. In one portfolio committee, we won't deal with everything. Surely being a new department, we'll have to take into consideration aspect what the acting DG said. The existing structures we have, the existing policy that we have, and look at them and examine as to where the policy has not worked according to the what we would like to see, what if the blockage is, what the blockage is, how do we deal with the blockage? Because we talk of the 20 experience now, after the 1994 era to now, so surely by now, we should have a way on checking on those issues that were impeding and make them to agree, not entirely to rewind back, but to make sure that the question of the migration of the units and divisions will be informed by the money given by the president anyway, in terms of setting up a new department. So I want to follow on what the department's mandate is. Some of the input, I think, goes against what we have to do. And surely there will be collaborations with other partners, but they can be converted into what we have to do as a department. Otherwise, we will be clustering everything. It's not even our responsibility. And that is not what we would like to see. And issues like your national credit, surely it's not within the scope of what we have to do. But there might be elements of that act that is prohibiting maybe people to run effective small businesses. But all in all, that's the policy that is not our department. The legislation is just what we are proposed within the framework that has to be. On others, we form collaboration, to form the relationship to work with, because it is issues that might be transversal. But at the same time, those are issues that are dealt with by other departments like DTI. The Felix Act and all its taken because of the regulation, it is dealt with adequately with the Department of Trade and Industry. And then the way the issue of blacklisting is being dealt with, there are mechanisms to assist people to move out of blacklisting. It's not a blanket one. Amnesty was dealt with for a long time, but surely you can't take everyone. It should be case by case and the merit of the case why a person ended up being blacklisted. So all of that score is very clear of what to do, and we hope that we'll work on that and collaborate with the other departments, as well as with the payment of dividends. CEDA hotline was introduced as a special assist to small business that are having problems with government not paying them within 30 days. That for those who use it now manage to bring back over $250,000 back into the hands of the small business because they follow that hotline. And it is waiting. So on some of the things, when they're waiting, why do you pick them or why do you throw them away? Take a good thing that are waiting is not enough, yes, but at least that CEDAR hotline is assisting on top of the presidential hotline. We can look at the things as a department to say, what else can we do to fast track? But at least it's something that we can report on to say it is very true. And let's work on that particular issue. In terms of the role of government and of the private sector, I think by now with our 20 years of democracy, we know exactly. Partner is work. But as a developmental state, there are issues that if private sector doesn't come in, then there's a market failure. Then we have to intervene as the developmental state. It is within that role that the ANC has been doing, ANC led government. And the ANC has never been against, or I mean, they are not business friendly. It's not. Because the same way some of the workers will say the ANC is not worker friendly. And if you legislate my experience for the ANC, there'll be a member of parliament, you never satisfy any party. The other party will say you are biased to this one, the other party will say you are biased to this one. But these are processes and the network process that we introduce. We're trying to deal with all the issues. But let us not get into the network process where it will be a problem for Parliament. This has been a debate for a long time. If issues are discussed at network, they come to Parliament. Parliament has got its own way of dealing with those issues. So it can't be that if my issue was not agreed upon at network, I use Parliament now to take those issues. That's why the Department of Labour and the Houses of Trade and the Chambers of Trade Industry and Labour at the network make sure that we try and make sure as much as we are together, but at the same time, let's agree that parliamentary processes will be the parliamentary processes that will have to be taken, because network in any way was formed to fast track and make sure that there can be representation, there can be dialogue, discussion, and come back with the recommendation. We must be very cautious on what then gets taken then on that. Surely, the political committee of them must have looked at those proposals and interview them, not just throwing them away or throwing them away. So to me, if they're interlinked to what they have to do, we can look at them, but not with the way to just take issues that they ask from network and want to transplant them to Parliament. So those things will always be an issue too. So surely government's role is to create conditions that are conducive for people to do business. That has been the case. But if that is not happening, what do you do? Then you have to come in and intervene to make sure that if things were working that way, government wouldn't be having the entities that are so many that are trying to make sure that they can deliver on some standards. Because we have your private sector standing ready to deal with this. But it's not all the private sector. Let's not pass them with one or kind of thing. Some of them do work with government. Some of them they're keen to see something and nothing else. So they are not the same. Some of them are keen even to mentor or to try and make sure that they can assist those people who are joining into business and the economy, they know nothing. They turn them over, but let's agree that only there's been amendments to the broad-based economic and foreign work. Some of them are just fancy and nothing else. And in that case, what do you do? So we need to really look at these issues. First, then, come back with the answer that we'll be able to take with the government for us. I think the presidency or the government look at all options and tell that we need to focus now on this small business development because it didn't work once or something like this. There is this department which deals with everything into the international and making sure that they deal with small and big and medium enterprises. So with a department of this nature, it is to give us then that space to look at the issues. Or on some of the issues, the red tape and all that, we started with 12 municipalities that we started to deal with and work with. And it is yielding some food, but we need them to take it as this department to say how do we fail and win. In terms of the kind of organization, where are the impediments? What is it that do we need amendments? Do we need whatever to make sure that we can be able to drive the small business sector? But to me, I think there's a challenge that is needed, as far as the economic partnership is to succeed. But if we have to make sure that we have to fast check on some of the issues, they will need them, I think, to believe that in a way that is going to be building our economy and talking to the growth and talking that then becomes policy. So the Department of Labor with the Labor Relations Service, those are processes that are in line with what their responsibility is as the Department of Labor. Surely we can't take some of what they have to do and bring them here. Currently, as we speak, it is clear on how small businesses or people that need to be exempted can apply and save their case. Again, not like it, but case by case, business to business, and say, I can't afford to implement the basic conditions of employment. I can't afford to implement the Labor Relations Act based on 1, 2, 3. Then they look at the cost, they're genuine, they are free to open their book to be checked so that people don't just say, no, this is an impediment for me to grow, but at the same time, they do want to take their books and close them and get another one. It is a process that is in place that people are close to it, and it must be looked at because it really helps a lot of small businesses that are on the bench. Of those who are on the bench, that they go through that, they get exemption, and they get to be monitored. So that once they then grow, they then face with the issue. Lastly, I believe we should not take back long-winded discussions and interpretations and reinterpretations of the definition. Let me pass the small to reflect those who were around the show. You know, this took us, I think, many years because everybody interpreted the way it should be. So it created a lot of then speculation, what definition at the end they transgressed to say we must work, we must continue, we can amend it as of what if the definition becomes a problem. But the turnover then came in at the threshold to say, even if you can employ 3 people, but if your turnover is billions, I mean really, can you be taken as a small business and be exempted not to pay the people minimum of what they have to get? Tell you no. So that then took a long time, and at the end of the day, the current definition was like, not happy for everyone. But can be as a man that could be that you can live with and then look at it as move forward. So I think we are not going to reinvent the wheel, but look at those. But once you start that process, it can take 2-3 years. debating it, calling hearings, doing whatever, whatever they say, you need to move on. We're making sure that the pandemic can start working. So, but it's only after, I think, 6 months or so that you find you see a real department. Where now, you're still trying to really follow proclamations, follow all the other things. By that time, I'm sure we'll be able to say, here we are, what is migrating from other regions, how can we lift up and have a collaborative way of going to manage those divisions and entities, the agencies. The question of the bank, Honorable Minister, in terms of the mandate, it talks about we giving the soft loans, I'm sure, Mr. Minister, giving the soft loans and as well as grants and all, but it is not speculating whether we have to open a bank. But I'm sure going forward, looking at what incentives we have in current, and the soft loans that we have, are they enough to really to open a bank that we can really make sure that this bank will be able to assist our small business people? Of course, with the interest rates that the bank charge on all those, but also some of the intermediaries that charge people much more than banks actually, it then becomes a problem because they now turn out to be developmental or SOEs that are established to assist people and use them as a vehicle. But now if they can pay more, why then do they go to the bank and then be returning? So those are issues that you will be looking at and seeing how best can we try to make it easy for a lot of people to get the entry level and then to move on. But the fiscal problem is the entry level. And that's how you see living after 20 years. Live with the two economies. I mean, your very second economy and your first type of economy. But at the end of the day, it's as you might come with the gaps. Okay? Identify your gaps and come up with the relevant problems that you'll be able to make sure that we lessen that and make sure that we must have that particular balance. But surely, within the whole world, we are one of the countries with the coefficients that is very, not as per what the strength of the economy grows and whatever we have, tally. So surely there's something that we have to do between the gaps and what the informal sector contributes to the GDP. The reality is that as much as you have your big business, but the people who contribute more happen to be your small and even informal sector that are not regulated as now. The problems that there are with the PCI is to look at the informal sector and see how they as government. So those will have to, I think, migrate them to this new department and see how fast that we can fast track a lot of those and make sure that we can move. But setting up the new department is quite fair. Not also. Not just one set up, two, then you are on the go after 2 months. It takes more than that. I'm sure it can 2 years. It will be too long. But it can be a month or 2 months. But the suggestions, some of them are good. But some of them are very, very issues. That must be looked at and discussed. And then learn from what has been the failure, what has been the advantages, and how then do we go with the success. I think the other DG can fill in the DG and the committee member. For now, I think we can.
Thank you. The one issue that I had wanted to respond to was the supposedly cost struggle between the departments. Well, the advantage we have is that we sit in the economic cluster, so we will not be operating in isolation from the departments. But also, the mandate that was given to us, even at the time that it was given, the other ministers, Department of DGI and EDD were also present. One, of course, knows that when there needs to be movements, there's always discomfort one way or the other. We are very conscious of that. But we would like to work very closely with the other departments so that we don't encounter them. And if we do encounter them, of course, we must be able to deal with them. Obviously, it's the responsibility of the portfolio committee is oversight to also check how that is going, but so far we've been working very well so far.
Thank you. Can we have a short break and then come back to take the one to respond before we take the
Thank you, Honorable Chair. I won't be long. I think the Minister and the DM, both of them have covered some of the elements. But I wanted to flag this point to Honorable Members, and I will use an example of the incubation programs. Now that there is a department with a mandate to deliver for small business and cooperatives, we believe that would upscale our programs as well as interventions. So I would want members to take that into account, that DTI might have decided with its current resources that they would look at 19 incubation programs, but that is on the basis of the resources that are currently residing within the DTI. There would certainly be an upscaling of all intervention measures. I also want to pick up on the one example that we have considered in terms of implementing the transversal agreement. For instance, as we all know, in South Africa, we were raised and nurtured that you would work for a person. It was never inculcated amongst ourselves that you shall be the owner of your business. So one of the things that we are envisaging, or matters that we are envisaging, is an engagement with the Department of Basic Education as well as Higher Education on ensuring that the curriculum does consider studies on cooperatives as well as small development. We should believe those measures will take us forward in advancing the objectives of the current department. Minister and DM have already covered some of the elements. Thank you, Honorable Chair.
Thank you. Let us report this. This is a small break.
Thank you.
I'm a lot of Please find it. Thank you.
our meeting. Will you take the second round of 10?
No, thank you very much, sir. Yeah, Mr. Chairperson, I would like us as the community to welcome the presentation from the ministry and from the department on the progress last week, you know, since the announcement by the president of the establishment of the ministry for small business development. In welcoming this information, I also want to welcome the sentiments from the minister that says that perhaps the naming might not complete. So the matter of trying to incorporate cooperation is going to be investigated and checked on a wide agenda. I want to raise this matter to say that the establishment of the small business and cooperative development department in the Republic of South Africa is a milestone achievement. We can tell you it is a revolution in the economic transformation of South Africa. And it's responding to what the ruling party calls it, a radical economic transformation stance that we have taken. So it never happened in South Africa that we have a department dedicated particularly to the vulnerable sector in our society, which is small businesses and cooperatives. So I want to register that. I want to register a second matter that perhaps the minister and the department should look at frustration, because you know what is going to make us to have a big challenge is a slow migration of functions and even personnel that is in other departments that are dealing specifically with these issues. That is what is going to make us to take more than a year in establishing that. So if this could be frustrated, you know, that we must have function and the money can follow that particular function, knowing that what is the program of that function that is moving from other departments into the establishment of this program. You see, Minister, since I have been in the student movement, and even after the 1994 democratic reform, I've been hearing in Parliament the word incentive for big businesses to make business in South Africa. I've been hearing that. And another word that I've been hearing, tax concessions for big businesses to support small businesses, incubate them. And this thing has not happened. We've been giving incentives since 1994 for youth development and the training of youth in this country. But our young people have been trained to be master photocopying machines without a proper skill being transferred to these young people to be productive in society. And this is what I've learned in small business and also in cooperative development, that these monies are given, I'm sorry to say, white big companies to mentor black small companies, but the bulk of that incentive goes to the pockets of the very same big white companies that do not want these ones to grow in order to be equal in terms of competition. So if we think that we are having a department, why don't we capacitate this department to take that function? To take a full function of making sure that we are strong our small businesses and cooperatives. We can consider just give these incentives now for training again of young people in the country. It has been an upgrade. One of the fundamental matters is your secondary, the secondary secondary mandate or secondary vision. I think that secondary vision is fundamental, is the one that is as a school. It's going to take us forward. When we begin by the state, I think we must commit to the state in relation to localization and the local procurement to these small businesses and cooperatives. I think this one is the one that is going to make us to set an example to the state that we buy from these local small businesses and these cooperatives. I think that one should be at the center of our program and our program. We should talk to the mother of the program for capacitation. A tailored program for capacitation of small businesses. A tailored program for capacitation of cooperatives. I think it's very important as to know what is the funding for training supposed to be and what are the elements, because we're going to learn from the tailors of these small business. One of them, the minister agreed, is the capacity to save, the capacity to manage the business, the capacity to market. So this challenge of capacity, I think, is very, 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 very important. The last thing, Chairperson, I want to say that we can only be able to assess the success of this department of the work when we are closer to our objective of inclusive growth and secondly of the shared growth project. Because if we want to support our government in terms of achieving the 6 million jobs, that statement talks to assisting into inclusive economy and the shared economy. And one of that sector that will help us to do that is a small business development and cooperative. And I want to say that in particular black ones, without apology, in particular black small businesses and cooperatives. Because if we do not strengthen them, we're not going to reach this. An inclusive economy and the shared growth through the localization program. I just wanted to raise this particular issue. Thank you.
The chairman, thank you. Last year, I'm sure we remember that there was a threat that appeared in the newspapers, a threat made by the Swan Board, and that threat had to do with the shops, that this other shops in particular, that the locals were losing to foreigners. And when we tried to interact with some people from Kakeho who were part of this, they said the foreigners who move into their areas seem to be subsidized by whoever, and they cannot compare in prices. As a result, the local blacks lose their sponsorships to these foreigners. Now, as the attempt and also mission and vision of SBT is to bring blacks into mainstream economy, what is going to be done to ensure that those that are helped to start their own businesses are not sorry about having this happen currently? Actually, if we can make a survey in most townships, you'll realize that the majority of the students are no more colors. We know that even in many cases where RDP houses have been built, they have, some of our people have sold them to the foreigners. So what I want to know is whether federal governments are aware of this or ministers are aware of this problem. And secondly, what measures are going to be put in place that those who are helped to establish these businesses do not lose them in the process of time, but they are able to be sustainable so that the contribution into our economy can be realized.
Thank you for the chair. I also want to follow on the suggestion that the name, we should consider changing the name to include cooperatives, because if we only say small business. We run a risk producing only singular people who advance upwards to the exclusion of many. But if we say end cooperatives, and there is a great probability that we can raise groups of people. And in raising groups of people, we will be closing this gap that Comrade Mbodi has been speaking of. The gap between the rich and the poor, and the gap between those that have always had wealth compared to those that have always been out of the mainstream of the economy. And I think another challenge that we will have to face is to ensure that there are continual discussions with staff in the migration of some staff members from EDD and trade and industry, so that, those relationships are done as much as possible with consultation, so that the morale there stays optimal. And another suggestion I want to make is our relationship with the Department of Higher Education, so that even the trainings, I think I'm adding on to the point made by Comrade Mkodi, that even the training of young people and women, or the training of LMEs and cooperatives, that part of it should be undertaken by the Department of Higher Education itself, so that we don't necessarily rely on established businesses, because yes, while established businesses will help, but it's not all of them that have that good heart to help. And another challenge which we will have to look at carefully is to make sure that the standard of achievement or of delivery, for lack of a better word, by SMEs and cooperatives does not slump down during the transition. So in other words, we must strive to ensure that the productivity of those SMEs and the cooperatives is at least at the level at which it is now during the transition, so that we try to avoid a slump down. And the social aspect of cooperatives, not much has been said about it, Comrade Chair. If the department can look more into that, so that we move along with it, we don't lose it. But another part that I wanted to suggest is the Deputy Minister spoke about this, the intermediaries. The intermediaries, the government has brought them on because it believed that they also have good hearts to assist SMEs and cooperatives. Only to find on the contrary that they are there, most of them, not all, most of them are there to exploit not only the SMEs and the cooperatives, but also government to make a big buck by making us lose profit interest, charging interest as they intermediate between the government who provides funds and the end user, charging interest up to as high as 30%. I would think this needs a serious reviewal, a very serious reviewal, so that if we can't get it right, then we
can't continue to lose those, because the aid, the main aim is not to empower the intermediaries, but the main aim is to empower the end user, which are the SMMEs and the cooperatives. But the indirect consequences, unintended consequences, have been that it is the intermediaries themselves that get richer and richer. And the IT way of doing things, it means only minister and deputy minister will have to, from the onset, have a way of capacitating the SMMEs and cooperatives to move into utilizing IT so that they do not lag behind established business. That also goes more for areas like rural areas, informal settlements. So the role of both ECOM and Telcom becomes paramount in as far as they must assist in providing the infrastructure. Other departments that must also work closely with us. STEPS, South Africa, SADS, if STEPS South Africa can assist us with data progressively, going some years back up to date, what their data informs us about SMMEs and cooperatives. But I would also suggest, colleague chair, that the department invests time to make a stock taking for the lack of a better way, so that you know what you are accepting, and so that you measure it as you accept it. I'm referring to SMMEs and colleges, their strength, their capacity, their turnover, the registration, how many of them are registered, how many are still struggling to register, so that you are able to measure the impact of the new department vis-à-vis what will have been moved over to the new department. And I would believe, Comrade Chair, that the establishment of the new department must not become an excuse for other existing departments not to pursue the objective or the obligation to empower SMEs and cooperatives. So that obligation still resides with all the departments. It's just that the new department will be specializing, but it doesn't take away, because there's no way that the new department can empower and shoulder the responsibility of helping cooperatives and small business on its own. It's utterly impossible. One of our members, I think it was member Jane, Ken, am I pronouncing it properly?
Yes, you are, thank you.
When you spoke about industrial parks, I second the point that it's important that those industrial parks are reinvigorated to make sure that they, in their own right, stand on their feet and they are able to be a supply source to industries in the disadvantaged areas. So that it's about the circulation of money, that as much as possible, money must circulate within an area. It mustn't be very easy for money just to rush to places that have always been rich. Then we will not develop the formerly disadvantaged areas. One last point, Comrade Chair, is some of the departments that the Deputy Minister refers to, like the LCR. As we go on, we will continually have to explore which of them should come to our portfolio committee to make input, so that as we move forward, we take into account how far they have gone in reaching certain objectives, which indirectly do empower us. The blacklisting aspect, the Deputy Minister spoke well about it, and if those departments come, you know, they will better empower us. So that we don't repeat, another thing that we must avoid is to struggle with doing what has already been achieved by other predecessor departments. But I want to disagree with one statement made by Member Chen when he said that the ANC is notorious in being known for an organization that does not assist small business. Mr. Chen, were you saying small business or big business?
I didn't say small business.
Oh, okay.
I specifically just referred to business in a wider context.
In a wider context. No, I would disagree with that statement, because it is the very ANC that when it also has progress of taking business to overseas shows, so that they display the products that they have. It is this ANC government that takes along even big business for them. Actually, it's more big business that they can to countries with either the president, the Minister of Trade and Industry, so that they go and showcase what they are capable of providing. So that in disagreeing with this statement, we must see it in the context of saying when ANC liberated South Africa, that liberation included the liberation of whites and white business, who before liberation could not trade widely internationally. But thanks to the liberation, most of these big businesses can now trade all over the world. Thanks, Colin.
Thank you. I will give an honorable chair. Okay.
Thank you, Chair. Just a couple of points, if I may, Chair. Picking up on some of the things that the honourable members to my left and right mentioned, firstly, Honourable Leshwick. As it happened on Monday, I had a meeting with some small business owners in Soweto who raised the very same thing about the problem that they're facing, small business owners of sparser shops in the townships, believing that foreigners are taking over their businesses by buying in bulk, which isn't a crime, we understand. But the potential accusation that there is collusion between some of the foreigners, most particularly referred to Pakistanis, who may have relationships with the police in the townships, which are not particularly conducive to, you know, good business relations with the locals. So I think it is something that has been brought up in many fora. there is a danger that it can reduce to xenophobia, which we want to avoid at all costs. But I think this is something which does need to be investigated by the department, the extent to which there is unfair competition introduced by people who may not have the citizenship that they would need to be resident in the country as well as running a business. So that's the first thing. The second thing is I want to pick up on Mr. Mbaba, the Honourable Mbaba's point about education. And I'm very happy to hear the acting DG refer to this in her presentation this morning, because when Gibbs, the Auburn Institute of Business Science, held a seminar a few weeks ago on incubators, Alon Reyes, who is the founder of Reyes Corp, who is one of the most experienced business people in the country focusing on incubation, he made the observation that we've had three phases in this country of affirmative action. Phase one was pre-1948, when essentially the economy was controlled by the British. And if you grew up in an English environment, you could get a job in one of the corporates, and you were alienated if you were an Afrikaner or black person. Post-1948, pre-1994, the same was the case for Afrikaners in the country. The national government promoted Afrikaners into positions in corporates and into state institutions. And then post-1994, there has been a perception amongst young black professionals that they must get a job, that they must join a big corporate, they must join the government, that they mustn't necessarily start their own business. And I think it's absolutely essential that culture is questioned. And the place to start is in the Department of Basic Education, and then thereafter in the Department of Higher Education, where these schools are staffed with people who understand business, understand the language of business, of entrepreneurship, and that relationships are developed between those schools and local institutions, youth clubs, where the culture of business can be inculcated as early as possible into young people. Finally, the point about the ANC's supposed anti-business stance. Now, I don't want to get into a whole long debate about this now, but I just want to give you two examples of what I mean by that, or where this emerged. The first is, 10 to 15 years ago, Tony Trayer, who was the then chief executive of Anglo-American, wrote in the annual report of Anglo-American that there was some political instability within the country, which was posing problems for the company doing business. And the then president, Thabo Mbeki, basically jumped down his throat and, you know, treated him like he was an ogre. You know, he was being disrespectful, he was being unpatriotic, and shut him up, effectively. A little while ago, the same thing happened when Roel Kuza, the chairman of Nedbank, made comments that were visibly critical of the ANC and the government. And Gregor Mantashi did the same thing. You know, almost saying, who are you to, you know, as a beneficiary of black empowerment yourself, come back and criticize the ANC? So those are two examples of where the ANC's over-defensiveness have been interpreted as being critical business. And it's really a matter of developing a language and an ability on both sides to listen that I'm referring to. It's a nuanced issue. It's not necessarily saying we're anti-business. It's just a language that is often used both by some government, but I'm not saying all, and some ANC office bearers have been interpreted by business to be anti-business. So that's all I want to say on that one for the moment, Honourable Doctor. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Before I give to the Minister to respond, I would also like to add a few comments on what is discussed. Firstly, I would want us to move from a premise that says we, in this session, we are not holding this department accountable, like what is happening in other committees. Other committees, they've been working with their department, and they are using what was presented to them in terms of the programs that are going to be implemented by the department as well as the budget that is required. So there is a difference from the work that is done by other committees in holding their department accountable from the work that is done by this committee. Right at the beginning of this meeting, I said that the purpose of this meeting is to get a briefing from the minister on the mandate given to the department by the president, so that together we can then look at how we will hold this department accountable, which is a future. We are not holding this department accountable today because it's a department that has not been existing. Therefore, our comments should be the comments that are identifying the gaps in terms of the presentation. Some of the things that we think this department should look at and give that feedback to say, this has been missed and we would propose that it be included. Or this is our observation, like rightfully pointed out by Honorable Meshwe and Honorable Chan, in terms of the spaza shop. Now, I want to directly address the issue raised by Honorable Chan and responded to by the Deputy Minister and Honorable Mabas. The issue of the ANC that is not business friendly. In your argument, both of you, Honorable Chan and Honorable Mabas, you are pointing at specific issues. You are making reference to two business people that raise issues with, one with the former president, Comrade Thabo Mbeki, on their response of Comrade Kodemantashe to the issue raised by Mr. Ruel Kohn. You are giving us a specific example of what you are referring to. Honorable Mabasa, on the other hand, is giving us a political context. A political context of what the ANC inherited and what the ANC had to deal with. And I think that we have a responsibility of looking at issues from a broader perspective. I am not saying the manner in which both Comrade Thabo Mbeki and Comrade Kgwedla Mantashe responded to is not what you are feeling, Honorable Chan. But I don't think that that can be made a general statement to say the African National Congress is not user-friendly to the business sector. Because that is then saying this government does not have a heart for the business sector. And the question then that we will need to ask, over and above the explanation that Honorable Mabasa has given, is who built all the stadiums? Who opened the gateway for South Africa to be incorporated in the global village? Because South Africa was boycotted during the apartheid era. Who achieved that? And on whose behalf was that done? It was done by the ANC. As a result, South Africa is able to trade internationally today. South Africa is accepted both in business and in sport. There is no small business. There's no small business that built all these railway stations that we see today that are being operated. It's a big business. We are speaking about business in general. All the financial institutions and the support systems that have been put by the ANC government to address the needs of the business sector. Let us not come to a level of how effective those have been, but the issue is the willingness. And if we were to then come out of this meeting having concluded or having an understanding that the ANC government is not friendly to the business sector. I don't know what is in that moment we're talking about, because the business sector in the past did not participate in the social license yet. When issues of trade are being discussed and the voice of the business sector is taken into consideration, even the establishment of this particular department, I listened carefully to Mr. Fabulous Group, who is a successful businessman from Mulan, who said we were party to lobby the ANC to say it must establish this particular business, this particular department. Is that not being friendly to the business sector? I am saying this because in our meetings we have the media, and the media has got a tendency of focusing only on general statements that are usually negative. And that statement, Honorable Chair, is a general statement that is negative and can destroy what we are doing. And it is unfortunate that you said that. Because what we are supposed to be saying is, how can we make effective instruments or change the instruments that have it to make them more effective? But to generalize and say the ANC is not friendly to the business. There is no business that has left in South Africa because of the ANC government policies. None. We may be having challenges, and we need to be finding solutions to those challenges. So I just would say it is important for us to have that understanding. The other issue that I would want us to understand is that when you do not have a common understanding of the problem that you are addressing, you may find and propose many different solutions because you don't have a common understanding of the problem that you are addressing. The problem that you are addressing here in this country are the triple challenges. And we all agree on that. That's one, there is inequality in our country. Two, there is poverty in our country. And three, there is high rate of unemployment in our country. So that understanding is fundamental in informing the strategy and the program that will be implemented by this department. Why that is important for us to understand. These triple challenges have resulted with an increased number of people who depend on social grants. The social grant register in 1994 was 2.5 million. Today it is 60 million. And it is growing. And if then the strategy doesn't speak to that, to create an exit, Honorable Minister, of people who are not active in the economy, who depend on government social grant for their daily survival, this country will not become a development asset. It will become a waste of it. And I have said this several times. Also, if the strategy does not talk to reducing the Indian register, we will also miss what we are supposed to be achieving. Because the goal is to make each and every household self-sufficient and self-reliant and afford to pay for services rather by municipalities, and then make municipalities financially viable. Because if we don't do that, again, the test of a grant from national treasury to municipalities for them to provide services will shrink. And the end result, again, is that the country will become
a wealth estate, the municipality will collapse and have no revenue base. So it is important for us to then make all our suggestions, having that in mind, like that, is actual people are dealing with inequality. There are those that are at a particular level in terms of participating in the mainstream of the economy, and there are those that are participating in the economy but at a very, very level. And our responsibility is to ensure that we facilitate a situation where they will participate but in the mainstream of the economy, because we should also not be blind of the fact that we come from a country that has a separate development approach. We have homeland government in this country, and people in the homeland government were expected to develop using red card with no revenue base, which is what then begins to speak to the issues of the spaza shops that are owned by national, foreign nationals, as well as the mushrooming of the mall, both in townships and rural areas that are not supplied by the local people, but goods are brought from somewhere else. So I thought that it is important for us to make our comments with an understanding that we are not holding this department accountable at this stage. We are making contributions that will then inform even the structuring, the institutional design of the department, and also to work together with the minister and this portfolio committee to point at those entities and programs that are sitting, some with trade and industry and some with economic development, that we think belong here. But because of this high pressure, we can't process everything. And as a result of that, we will need, Honourable Minister, a strategic implementation of the portfolio committee together with your department, where we will begin to look at what is it that is coming to us in real terms, and does that match our understanding of the needs on the ground and the structure of the department. So we are at an initial stage, and in the Bible, Baba Mtwe, Cornelius the Senator, your witness, Eliza knows what you said, Badwa. Now, we can't punish this small baby, because this small baby has not demonstrated that it doesn't like us, it doesn't like ordinary business. So somebody is going to leave with it and I don't know what he said, man, don't. So she won't do it now. Also, I'm done. This baby is still an infant. Our contribution at this stage should be that of nurturing this baby, so that it can see, crawl, walk, and run very fast. And we have a very short space of time to make this baby run. So the children have not sinned, it is the fathers who have sinned, but it is the children that will be punished. Let us not start by punishing. Honorable Minister, I'll give you a short.
Chairperson, as I requested before the start of the meeting to be released for another meeting, may I suggest the proposal that my question be given priority, please?
I take it
from
the honorable minister. I thought my input was try to change that approach of saying the question. Because
question should have been a question of clarity in terms of the presentation. Mamela. Questions should have been questions of speaking clarity in terms of the presentation. And then, needs that we are identifying should come as recommendations to say, we have identified this problem. This is the problem that we are in, and then we are suggesting that the department should also look into this because yes, the department. I don't mind the department. That's what I'm trying to say, honorable. Some questions are not really questions today. They should come as suggestions.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I do appreciate that, as you rightfully say, we have just started. We will look into this issue of the workshop and having further discussions on where we are. I also take it that the contributions that are made here are assisting us in terms of focusing on some of the issues and just highlighting those issues. Most of the last inputs have been more to do with really just assisting us in the thing that we have to look out to. And I think that, Reverend Michelle, because we are in a rush, we take your point, particularly when you're talking about the fact that there are suggestions that maybe these people in the township are in collusion with the police and all. Of course, that's for us, is to leave to the police to do the job if we raise the issue. I also think that we are also concerned about xenophobia because it's something that does not belong to one particular department in South Africa. It belongs to all of us in South Africa, and we have to do everything we can in each and every space where we are to make sure that we deal with it and deal with it decisively. And we know that this is also an issue that does not face South Africa alone. If you go to many countries, you find that people who are coming from somewhere else other than the country are being treated one way or the other. And with regard to the foreigners, obviously it's a concern to us because we don't think it is proper for anyone to be in South Africa illegally and then end up being involved even more in illegal activities. However, it's also important for us to note the fact that there are people who are illegal in the country. We can't do a blanket and think that every African who is here, because unfortunately for us, the people that bear the brand in the main is black and Africans, because others come here with better resources sometimes, so they live in areas where they are not exposed. And even the business that they do, they already come here to do business. So it's important for us to also consider the fact that there are others who are here legally. But it's also important to look at those that are successful. Why are they successful? I'm talking about legal ones. I'm not talking about illegal. Why are they successful? What makes it easy for them to buy in bulk and do all the things and our own do not do this? Are there lessons that we can learn out of that so that we can make sure that we also have our people, you know, being in the space of understanding that buying in bulk, buying together, is better than individuals going and buying on their own. But also there is that element that needs to be addressed to our own people, that when they give, they rent their own premises to some of these people to run the other shops, there needs to be a consideration because they could have been running the shop themselves instead of hiring your garage to somebody else when you yourself are actually without a job, or many of the people that are in the family are without a job, you'd make more money to running that business than having somebody renting and paying you that little rent per month. And you spoke about, we speak about our houses, which are RDP houses, which have been given to our people, and then they end up renting them and going and living in a cuckoo somewhere.
So for me, it's keeping a balance between the two, because it's one thing to be attacking and aggressive and not even bothering to look at what other positive things can we get out of this. Of course, when people are here illegally, the law must take its course. And of course, when people are here doing illegal things, the law must also take its course. But it's also important for our people to understand that we live in a global world now, and the movement of people, whether we like it or we don't like it, is going to happen. It's just that maybe some us South Africans who were so closed in and locked in by the regime in the past that we could never think of going to Zimbabwe, going to Sudan, or going to some place. Usually, in this instance, you get that it's big business that's going out there. Our own people cannot even think about it, that they can pack their bag and go somewhere, because it's very comfortable in South Africa. But there must also be an understanding that the world is not waiting for us. The world is moving on. The sooner we get an understanding of that, and the sooner we move with the movement of the world, the better for South Africa too. Chairperson, can I just really conclude by saying that I'm not sure if we are concluding or we're still going to take another round, Chair? We're concluding. Okay. If I can, then I think the Deputy Minister and the Acting DG might also have things to add, I don't know, but just to say that it has been a very good experience for us, being our first meeting, and we do understand and appreciate what the Chairperson said, that we are not being held accountable today because we are just presenting for the first time, but we are very much aware of the responsibility that has been given to us by the President of the country and the ruling party, the African National Congress. We do everything we can on our power to make sure that we move this process. We assist South Africans to start working. We assist our own people to understand that it starts with them before it goes. The responsibility starts with them before it goes to anybody. And as far as government is concerned, we will be given a budget. We will have to make sure that that budget is spent properly. We will have to make sure that at the end of the day, the people that actually are beneficiaries to that budget would be the small and medium enterprises and cooperatives. We are very open to engagement and discussions, especially as I said earlier that we are lacking, we are a youth department, and therefore we are going to be learning from the other departments of the challenges and the mistakes that we've done in the past. But also we would like to say that strongly we truly believe that this should be a department that is very sensitive to the people who were previously disadvantaged and left out of the economic life, and that we have to do everything we can to bring them on board. Having said that, we also want to say that those businesses that are already functioning, be it black or white, whatever color it might be, it's also our responsibility to make sure that they don't collapse, because at the end of the day, it's about all of us as South Africans collectively. It's about ensuring that those businesses that are functioning, they contribute to the development of our economy, and we need to support them in the best way that we can. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. I'll be very quick. As I said, I don't want to get into the whole debate around business as business, this and that and the other. But I think everybody in this room must accept that the term trust deficit has been used extensively recently. And I believe that it is up to us as a committee to address the issue of the trust deficit. It runs both ways. So I'm not accusing one side of being anti the other and the other side of being blameless. So it is something that in the coming months and years I think that the committee should address the question of the trust deficit. Thank you.
Chairperson and the portfolio committee members, I thought given the direction by the chair was trying to assist us. But I'm sorry to say that issues of trust and the physical trust and all those, unfortunately, honorable chance, these are creating problems because it is your own interpretation. And once you take around this, you see the national or international issue and all that. And I disagree with what you say. In my previous deployment, I used to lead delegations, small business, emerging and big business, to countries, to access markets and all that. And some of them today, I speak to you, are exporting to those countries. But Saudis can't have to invest in the country. Nestle is one good example. A company that is not SA, and then it has come to SA, it is expanding in terms of making it because people believe in our system, in our political stable condition. It is not like the ruling party, but our economic macro policy issues are sound and they're fundamental. And we are able to attract people to come invest in Russia. If a country that was not getting investors to come invest in Russia, I would say what you're saying is correct, but I don't think we just from the election campaign, and I don't think this is a when we prepare for the local government, then we must start with such issues. Even the example given by him, stating on what the people said, Tony Ruel Kodra and the former president in Brazil, all that. I think within the context of what people say at a particular time, can't be construed into something that I would like and go and use it against anybody else. We've got stability in countries. That has been proven. That we've got stability. People are still coming into invest in this country. Otherwise, people would not be coming. Africa as a whole, you can stand internationally, daily with its needs. And to me, I think let's take this as the first place, and then we move forward and then come and get to deal with issues. The economic matter just making. I agree now we've got a problem with the coal and the economy and all that, which is problems and all that, but it is not like the same in 2008 and 2009 when there was recession. Some of the elements are moving towards that. But we're able to wither to weather the storm and make sure that we can move forward to weather the storm. Very, very critical storm that we weathered at the time because of the policies of the NCLF government. With the same letter of aid that was raised here, it was the one who set us a great deal to make sure that we don't do the mistakes that the US did. Borrowing people money that they cannot afford to pay back the bond and all that. So, here you look at we must learn from the mistakes we've done in 20 years and move forward. But to continually say ANC is anti-business is wrong. It cannot be right. In whatever way that you want to project that. I don't raise court. It is a person and an organization that we work with from time to time. Because he understands the plight of small business. He understands the survival nature of business that assists small business then to go. In that line, I could have said the same thing if I wanted to do cheap political scoring. I was just going to answer Mr. Chen's honorable Chen's with if GA is so, people come to them, then I have constituency as well. People come to me, you have constituency, people come to you. But if people don't want to use what I've meant, they've got instructors and the entity to go to them, they used to go to DA. It is their choice, we live in a free country. But I'll ask him the same question. Why DA run Western Cape from its clothes, Red Door, if they are small business supportive? Why? Why did they close that door? They are giving support to the emerging and small business people. Is the next government, because of trade and industry at the time, I need to be deputy minister, reopen those offices because we believe in the small business people that if you assist them and close the offices, they will be able to grow, access market and all that. Today we've opened the next year, dining here in the Western Cape. But I chose not to do that because I felt this is a very sad meeting. We are here to understand each other. We are here as a collective HR. There's no accountability that you ask for. Some of the issues come from what has happened during the DTI and economic development because those are the two departments that used to deal with the small business. We've got many accountability. There is no running business. It is improving. We are one of those, the world playing another. I mean, put us on the global space that it is easier to do it like in you know what in other countries. As much as we can have challenges, but we do have good story. We've got a good story to tell as this ANC led government. The chair is correct. We cannot take one as we put the all class. One ideology and want to change this around and make it an international global one. We live in a global space.
And even then, that's an ideation.
Exactly. And why were we accepted? Why were we accepted to be part of BRICS? Can that just come from nowhere? But now BRICS, many countries envy. They envy to be part of BRICS, but they don't. But we were able to, because of the status of our country, because of our economic macro stability, because of peace and stability that we hold, not even here, in everywhere else in Africa, that's because we believe in us. And those are the good things that happen, but nobody's talking about them. Only want to have the negative that are going to be maybe pushing the bond of them of the media and the people as well. I think let's really follow what the chair said. And not continuously try to provoke unnecessary political bickering on something that is really what you want to build. For the Department of Small Business Development to work, we need the cooperation from the portfolio committee members. But let's do it in a very mature way. Let's do it. At times you will agree to disagree. Maybe he will not agree with what I'm saying, but it is his own right. But let's put the facts in place. Not cheap critical points, facts on the table to say why. And be able then to move forward. Because you can't be able to deal with a lot of issues that you have to deal with. So it can't be something that you want to do, then try to make it as if we are better than the others. It's not about opposition agree to disagree. All the committee members have got a responsibility. Yes, people gave us the 2% majority. But at the end we assist everybody as the government, as the department. We don't ask people membership, we assist them. Because we believe in what they then do and capacity and all of us. So let's work on that and be able then to move forward. Some of the proposals made on education, whatever, these are already existing. The Department of Higher Education is part and parcel of the academy, training academy that is going to make sure that it can nurture, help cooperatives. Because there was that competency, and the DCI has already started with making sure that as we move to this particular free parliament, we'll be able to implement that, including the cooperative agencies, as well as the tribunal to deal with a lot of issues that then will be having. The question of informal businesses by the foreign authorities, those issues are looked at. There's a ministerial IMC that is looking at that and making sure we can try and look at the legislation. The business in particular is one that then was cut under DCI to look at and see what measures in place that we can put and penalties so that people, when they are doing the things, they know that government is worried about what is happening. In terms of, especially as the minister said, illegal trading on some of those people. We want investors, we want people to come back, they must come later and do those things and not what the country is doing. And some of the programs we try to make sure that we counteract them and come with the interventions. Working 25 is one of the examples that right in Soweto, I'm not sure whether it's they are members of the church constituency, but I went there two years ago, launched the Working 25. Never ask people their membership. If it's working in Orlando, let's Orlando and other parts of Soweto, including Karanku and Athensville, we're trying to assist these shops that were not up to scratch with what then the others who come and be their competitors. Today, they're running very well with the system, the intervention that we've made. So I expect that, try to be get more friends and not just make your, make good provocative stands that are really not having anything to do to help us. We are here, we need you, you need us. Let's work on a clean slate and move and make sure that we can learn from those mistakes that have done. So a lot of these, I think, were suggestions from the members, from Hongi. These are good things that they have to say. Transformation must be to end the economic transformation. It has been, the African National Congress stands that we must be able to deal with. And surely programs and whatever is in place, it is time to talk to those, but we hope that the Peace Parliament will really, make sure that we can accelerate and put measures in place, put the intervention to make sure that we can see a change. We don't like to do the 24, whether 2 digits, unemployment growing, 1 digit, but help the minister and who else are in talk about that issue. Not everybody is a business person in America, unfortunately. Not everybody is an entrepreneur. We are short of entrepreneurs, unfortunately.
entrepreneurs is what we want most, because we don't want people who come out of the university and look for a job. We want for people who are top traders. Alan is one of those that then was able to start the race car because of the situation that he was under. And today, running a booming business, assisting the emerging and small business. That is, we want more of those. And that's what the NYJ is doing. And other divisions of other departments that are busy with the youth strategy, because you can't have more than 70% of the unemployed being young people, and the problem, and more than 60% being women. So, as part of our mandate, we'll try and incorporate those and make sure that we can be able to really try what we can do. And then we don't do the chair's right, hold us accountable to say this is what we said. But it is early introduction, and we want to get as much as possible of this and then be able to go to that particular strategic planning workshop and then be able to move and take it from there. I think if we have that skill, we'll be able to move in much more fast. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I just want to share the excitement. Yesterday I received an SMS from an investor who is building a storage facility for liquid gas in Salam. He said, I got my license and now the program of establishing working plants co-owned by my company and cooperatives and secondary cooperatives, who will then supply primary cooperatives at what levels can be realized. A person who is investing in South Africa to build an LP gas storage facility would not come and invest in South Africa if the policies of this government were not user friendly to the business. Using his own money to build a storage facility at Saldanha Bay, and also committing to assist secondary cooperatives to have working plans, but investing in those working plans and gradually pull out to make sure that the boarding plan then becomes totally owned by secondary cooperatives who are supplying primary cooperatives. Now, the issue that I want to make here is that the business sector has also to have a mindset shift. And there are many business people that are beginning to understand what the government is to achieve. My advice to members of this committee is that we should represent Parliament in our discussion and not represent, like, position ourselves as representatives of certain sectors in our society. We should not do that. Because if we do that, we will then create unnecessary confusion. So again, I want to say the comments made by Honorable Chan are unfortunate, because he's speaking on behalf of the business sector. He's representing the business sector in his view here. And the business sector is interacting directly with the African National Congress and government. And the business sector was part of the adoption of the National Development Plan. It can therefore not be correct that the business sector has a feeling that the African National Congress is not friendly to us. Those cases are cases, the issue that Honorable Chan was referring to are isolated cases. Let us look at the bigger picture and say, for real, have this government not put in place policies that have made it possible for everybody, when I say everybody, for everybody to have opportunities in South Africa. And my understanding is that their government has put policies in place for everybody to have opportunities in South Africa. It is then up to all of us to push for growth and to push for a common understanding and assist this country to move forward. Lastly, I would want to say that, Minister, it has been a good engagement. Both your presentation and that of the acting DG and inputs made by the Deputy Minister are welcome by the Portfolio Committee. You have given us a clear understanding of the mandate as well as the program and where the process is. As I have said in the beginning, that the purpose of this meeting is to enable us to have an understanding of where we are with this department, so that we are able to prepare for our budget. In our meeting of the portfolio last week, we agreed that we will be looking at our program in this meeting. A program that relates mainly to the work that has to be done until we pass the budget. But we are also mindful of the fact that because the department is at the initial stage, we need to come back to then have the workshop that I'm talking about, which will give us a better understanding and also give us enough time to make inputs that are going to shape even the institutional design of the department. What I also think is important for all of us to understand is that government is the largest consumer of food and services. And if government is committed in building small business, in developing small business and energy cooperatives, we should then, as this committee, be looking at what is it, what percentage will come to SMME and cooperatives out of the 75% local procurement that government has committed to 75% local procurement, and that 75% refers to big, small, and cooperative, small business and cooperative. And if the government had to go to that extent of aid, 75% local procurement, what is it that the government had offered that led to that? And then on top of that, to say 60% of that must come from youth and women. What has led to that? What led to that was the marginalization. There was a lot of import goods which was resulting with lack of jobs because there was no local procurement. The question then that we would need to ask as the portfolio committee in this department is, of that 75%, what percentage will go to cooperatives and what percentage will go to SMMEs, so that we are clear about targets. When we measure targets in terms of the mandate. So all political parties must go back then and then go to say, Masbuya, when we come back to discuss that issue of the percentage for cooperatives and the percentage for SMMEs out of the 75% local procurement, what percentage will come to? This we are not taking from Norway. There are lessons that we can put at. Let's look at Brazil. In the purchasing act of Brazil, which was passed during the period of President Lula, 40% procurement from corporations. And that assisted Brazilians to get into the poor Brazilians to get into the mainstream of the economy. Another lesson that we can learn from is here to our very close neighbor, Namibia. The Namibian government bent 2.5% of its budget with cooperative banks. 2.5% of aid money is big money to encourage the establishment of cooperative banks and also to change the mindset of people to say it is good to save. You talked about the culture of saving, honorable members. So there are lessons, there are good lessons already that we can learn from. The last thing is, I want to also add my voice on this issue of the name of the department. Already, honorable minister, there is an outcry on cooperatives. But I have now called the department to be the ultimate business abundant. Now let us join our panel group. And I share that sentiment with them. It is in the year for me to share that sentiment with the cooperative is that there are different interests between cooperatives and small business. We have not reached a level where there is a common interest between a small business and a cooperative. So, if we are not careful, we may find cooperatives being marginalized by big business and also being marginalized by the small business. Business is always profit-driven. And cooperatives are formed by people who feel the exploitation. They could also be small businesses. Like, for instance, small builders can form their own cooperatives for purposes of reducing the cost of buying building materials. But also we should move away from thinking that a cooperative can only be a small business person. And a cooperative is good for the bread crumbs. Mondragon in Spain is a huge successful cooperative movement with 147 factories that employ 80,000 people. They were not severely affected by the recent recession that we have had because they are run along cooperative principles. And if we promote the concept of cooperatives, we can even be able to deal with the problem of the strikes that we usually have. Because in most cases, I'm not saying in all cases. In most cases, cooperatives are owned by the very same workers. So members of cooperatives are usually the owners. And even when they are not owners, but the principles of running a cooperative and the values of a cooperative are totally different from principles of running a pure business, where the number of shares determine your power to decide in a business. And in a cooperative, it is not the number of shares that determine your power to take decisions. It's a one man, one vote. And we are in a democratic country. And we are in a country that has adopted a mixed economy. And we need to be mindful of that. So we are leaving it to the department and to the minister to go and talk to the principals and say, we are concerned about the name given to the department. We would want cooperatives to be incorporated in the name. Preferable to say, it's a department for small business and cooperative development, so that we give the same emphasis that a cooperative will also be developed. They should not come as a secondary issue. The department is for both. So that is our appeal. And we think that we have not lost time because the department is not yet progressed yet. So with those words, I would like to end the discussion and relieve the minister, because we are only left with the adoption of the meeting, the minutes, as well as the progress of the portfolio committee. Thank you very much. We are on the adoption of the minutes. Our minister was just page one is about the attendance on page one and then page two. Do we have a mover in the second for the adoption of the minutes? Another Bukongi. Another Bukongi is proposed that we adopt the minutes. Is there any seconder?
I'm a chair, I'm just seconding.
Thank you very much. The minutes of the meeting of the portfolio committee for of the portfolio committee on small business development, a meeting that was held on Wednesday the 25th of June has been
adopted. There on the Jaffa stating LRD is not a serious error. On NR Bengu, NR Bengu just two spaces slightly, but it's I hope we are clear.
Thank you. The minister adopted with that amendment. Then we have the program. Proposed program. The portfolio committee is also made to stop.
So I just want to get clarity on Thursday and Friday situation in the server. With the full committee, all of us expected to be in the meeting on Thursday, as well as on Friday.
Which Friday are you referring to?
I'm referring to tomorrow, Thursday or the 3rd. PC on the PD will be training.
Are we together, Chair?
Yeah. And then the last one on Friday, the 11th. There should be one on the 8th. The Friday, the 11th. Consideration of, oh, that is only us in the train. And in after, so I just want to get clarity because it's a question of budget, but it's trained.
Yes. What will be happening on Thursday with the portfolio committee on economic development? Yesterday we attended their meeting. The minister presented. Entities did not present. And some of the entities that will be presenting will be sent to us in the future. That's why it is required for us. The same applies also on Tuesday. And then on the 11th, it is our own committee that is sitting because we would not be able to deliberate and adopt on the 9th, yes, on the 9th we are deliberating on our budget, and then on the 11th we are again sitting with President Idabri. It is a bit challenging, but it is a necessary marathon because some of the, if we do not go to those meetings, we will not be able to make meaningful input in our own strategy plan where we need to influence even the institutional arrangement of the department and what the department should be focusing at. It's Honorable Lamote, followed by Honorable Mahabe.
Thanks, Chairperson. My concern on the program is for tomorrow. Is that I don't know whether the secretary has checked the political party's caucus, because tomorrow most of the parties, including the ruling party, will be at caucuses.
There is no party that has a caucus of that week. Party caucuses are allocated for between 10 and latest quarter to 1. This committee is sitting at 2. Rainbow is in front of me. Not of now,
Bishop. Thanks, Bishop. My concern, she is on the consistent pressure of meetings of proposals. For an example, Tuesday for me is energy. But I see here there are joint meetings with the other departments. And yesterday I could not attend those joint meetings because of the same problem. And next week definitely I won't be able to attend that joint meeting because of the same problem. So it deprives me of an opportunity to deliberate or contribute in this joint meeting. So at some point we need to consider the issue of rationing of meetings so that all of us are able to participate as members of the portfolio going forward.
It is an unfortunate situation for now that we cannot deal with because we are rushing for the budget. After our budget, we will go back to our slot and all our meetings will be held on Wednesday. And also, Honorable Mahabe, if then you can, if you have missed a meeting, a joint meeting, make use of the study group of the agency. That's where you get the information of what are the discussions and what can they learn not much from the agency.
No, it's fine, they are over, but it, it depends on whether energy we have a study group after one moment. But then as and when I'm available, I will have it on the
I'm talking about the fact that we shouldn't tell you on the real general match, because since now we are joining, we trading in that. Our penis is thinking they are trading in that. We are joining trading in that. Can we then move for the move for adoption of our program and just honorable?
Yes, Chair, I then move for the adoption of the program as agreed.
Second, honorable Lau.
Chair, then I'm seconding.
Thank you very much. I need to leave that, honorable Ted, you will excuse me. I can't pronounce your surname at the wrong time, however, you could have been given your name.
Could you kill me? I can imagine that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.